chapter 22, Joshua, the 22nd chapter, and we'll just do our best to share what the Lord has laid on our hearts today. Had a wonderful camp meeting last week. Many of you know Brother Joe Gans was our night speaker and just did a phenomenal job. Spoke some things that our church needed to hear, that I needed to hear. I'm thankful that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Praise God. Joshua 22, beginning in verse 10. When you get there, say amen. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. Now we're going to skip down to verse 26. How many knows when somebody is upset at you and they're declaring war on you, you better have a good explanation of what you're doing. And so in verse 26 says, therefore we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering, nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before Him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, ye have no part in the Lord. Therefore said we that it shall be when they should so say to us or to our generations in time to come, that we may say again, behold, the pattern of the altar of the Lord. Notice that phrase there, the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord to build an altar for burnt offering, for meat offerings, or for sacrifices beside the altar of the Lord our God that is before His tabernacle. Two more verses, verse 33 and 34. And the thing pleased the children of Israel. But if you look through this text, you'll never once read where it pleased God. Never once. The thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God and did not intend to go up against them in battle to destroy the land where the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed. Just plain, ordinary Ed. Not Jehovah Shammah, not Jehovah Shalom, just call it Ed. For it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. I want to preach this morning on this thought on distant altars. Distant altars. Would you stretch your hands this way and ask the Lord's help upon us this morning? Father, we pray that you'd give me clarity of speech, clarity of mind. Lord, give me unction to function this morning. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Let me not utter a word that's not ordained of you. But God, I pray you'd loose my tongue and loose my mouth to speak the things that are for the edification and the admonishment of this body. Lord, that you would change us, that you would challenge us through the words that are spoken in this service today. Lord, heal somebody, save somebody, give somebody a fresh baptism in the Holy Ghost this morning. We're careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. So here they were at the River of Jordan. Jordan, we know, is a place of transition. And the Israelites are fixing to enter into a new season in their life, a place where they had never been before. Totally different, radically different than the 40 years they had spent in the wilderness. Now I want you to notice there were three things that ceased from happening once they reached Jordan. Number one, they no longer followed the glory cloud. God said, from here on out, you're going to have to walk this thing out by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. You're going to have to navigate through this a little differently. How many has ever been through seasons in your life where you didn't know which way was up and which way was down, and you just said, Lord, I'm just putting my trust in you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Second thing he mentioned here about the crossing of Jordan, the manna ceased. I'm not just going to give it to you. You're going to have to grow your own food. You're going to have to plant your own seed. You're going to have to prepare this harvest that I sent for you. Now, not entirely was all the manna gone. Stay with me here. I'm going somewhere, I hope, in a few minutes. There was a pot of manna that was preserved, that was put in the ark of God. So, and in Revelation, he makes reference to this, and I will give you hidden manna. In other words, there is manna still available, but I'm not just going to dump it out here and everywhere for the general public. It's for covenant people. This manna is hidden. Amen. Seek me while I may be found. Call upon me while I'm near. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's hidden. It's secret. You got to dig it out. You got to purpose in your heart. You got to be intentional. But the manna is still available. And that manna is Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life for all people. I got to move on to the next point, but let me share this. There is a supply of the Spirit that only covenant people can partake of. And it doesn't come from a prayer line. It comes from a prayer closet. Amen. If you want it, you got to dig in and get it. But it's worth waiting on. The last thing is that the water ceased. They came back. Why did the waters come back? Because God didn't want an easy path for them to go back to Egypt. He said, you got to forget about that. You got to burn the bridge to back there. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Oh, which brings us to this point. Here's 2.5 tribes. They don't want to go past the Jordan. They don't want to go to the next level anointing that God wants to take them to. We're satisfied on this side of Jordan. It was the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the tribe of Manasseh. They weren't all the way out, but yet they weren't all the way in. They were borderline believers. Talk to me, somebody. Oh, they were close enough that they didn't experience the judgment of God, but yet they were far away enough they didn't obtain the favor of God either. Hallelujah. And they said, we still want to identify as one of you. We just don't want the dedication as some of you. Oh, yeah. These were that group, and I could talk to us today because I've been there. Amen. There's that group in the church that they're not necessarily against the pastor, but they're not necessarily for him either. Christ wrote to the church over at Laodicea, and I do believe we are in the Laodicean church age. I would that you were hot or cold,
because if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. The best definition I ever heard of lukewarm was this: once on fire, but cooled down. Come on. I used to have the goods. I used to shout. I used to dance. I used to sing the songs of Zion. But now I've just cooled down a little bit. He said, God just said, you make me sick. I'm going to vomit you. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Praise God. Sweet and bitter doesn't flow out of the same fountain. The book of James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, I find it interesting that on Jacob's deathbed, he pronounced over Reuben, one of these tribes, this is what he said: you are as unstable as water. Now, how many knows water as a liquid just conforms to whatever mold or vessel that you put it in? But if the water's left unrestrained, it just makes a mess. And it just gets all over the place. I've met some Reuben that they'll make a mess over here. And they'll make a mess over here because they remain unrestrained and unchecked. And then they leave the pastor to deal with it once they leave out the door. Come on, somebody. Amen. But God said, Reuben is as unstable as water. Amen. When he's around the pagans, he tries to find common ground with the pagans. When he's over here with God's people, he tries to find common ground with their people. The Bible said that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Some shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And one of those things he said was having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You believe it? Say amen. These borderline believers just pretended to be whoever they were around at the moment. Amen. But in reality, they were sending mixed signals of who they gave allegiance to. There were some surveys that was taken pretty recently. They said the average Christian goes to church only twice a month. To make matters worse, they don't have necessarily a home church. They're going, on average, 3 to 4 different places of worship. That's startling. These half-hearted Israelites said, we want to stay at the border, but yet, now don't get mad at us, Israel. We'll still come visit. We'll still come see you. We'll still see Brother Joe Bull run around the church. We'll still see Sister Hootenanny shout her hair down. We love the memories and we love to reminisce of things that God had done in days gone by. But we don't want to get too close to the ark because it brings conviction. We don't want to get close to your altar, amen, because we got to bring a sacrifice if we come. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm going to touch on that in a minute. We don't want to get too close to the people of God. We don't want to live there. We just want to visit there. So this is why they built their own altar, an altar called Ed. This big altar, Big Ed, hallelujah. Extravagant, flashy. But again, they said out of their own mouth, this altar's not for sacrifice. Well then, honey, let me tell you, it's not an altar. Really, look in the scripture and look in the original Hebrew of what altar means, and you will find one main ingredient. The word altar means the place of slaughter. That means there has to be blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. You can't have it your way. This ain't Burger King. You've got to do it God's way. Hallelujah. You've got to have some blood. You've got to have some sweat. You've got to have some tears. You've got to have some dedication. Amen. And can you understand, though, Israel's condition here, why they're confused? This was not an altar of consecration. It was an altar of controversy. How many knows there's a whole lot of that going on in the church, especially us, I'm just going to call it out, us Pentecostal churches. We got so many isms and schisms. We divide churches over the color of the carpet and the chandeliers that we put in. Amen. At least if you have enough money, put them. Our church is pretty poor. We can't afford chandeliers right now. Pray for us. Amen. Silver and gold have I none, said Peter. Amen. So if you can afford that extravagant stuff, God bless you. Amen. I want to experience that kind of increase, you God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's not an altar for sacrifice. And this is what they said. It's a place of witness. In other words, we still want to talk like you. We want to look like you. We want to worship like you do. But we just don't want the commitment that you have. Sometimes we don't want to leave the comforts of home. That's what I feel like they were saying. Tonight we're just going to stay in for satellite service. Tonight we're just going to stay in for live stream church. Now listen, I'm not against those things. But there are people that use that as a sorry excuse of why they don't darken the house of God. The Bible still says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, even so much the more as you see the day approaching. What are you talking about? Well, I just have found in my lifetime, one could put 1,000 to flight, but if I get 2, let me talk to y'all over here. If I could just get 2, amen, then that would put 10,000 to flight. Where 2 or 3 are gathered in his name, there I'll be in the midst of them. I'm not interested in just identifying personal devils. Amen. I'm not going to just try to call out the alcohol devil and the drug addiction devil and the suicide devil. Let me just tell you, honey, I'm ready to put them all out of business. Amen. Part-time Christians cannot defeat full-time devils. You've got to have the dedication. In spite of its appearance, you know, this was supposed to be a place of confession, but all of a sudden it's just confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. In spite of its appearance, something was missing. They had the pattern, but no power. They had the form, but no fire. 3 critical things were removed when these Israelites erected this monument called Dagon. They removed the blood, first of all, which is the basis of our purity. The blood is what washes us whiter than snow. And by removing the blood, they removed the boundary, because the blood is also the basis of our protection. Come on now. The hedge that God has set around you, it's not to restrict you. It's to protect you. It's to keep that enemy on the outside that's lurking about, amen, to try to devour you. Amen. He's trying to hold back that thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Dearly beloved, this boundary that God has set, it's not to limit you, amen, it is to increase you and to give you more power than you've ever experienced in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Lastly, it removed the blessing. Amen. The basis of our provision. God wants to bless us in our coming in and our going out. Bless us in the city. Bless us in the field. And dearly beloved, if that boundary is removed, if that blood is removed that's covering for your heart and mind, you forfeit that purity. You forfeit that protection. You forfeit that provision. Amen. When you take away the bedrock essentials of what Christianity is supposed to be, you're going to have nothing but a vain and empty show. Hallelujah. Let me get to this right here. When you move away from the presence of God, demons become comfortable in the midst. You get slack in your relationship with God. You may not realize it, but you're opening the door for demonic activity to erupt in your life. Amen. Let's follow the tribe of Gad, shall we? Where they now call it the Gadarene. Jesus steps out of the boat. There was a man that didn't just have one devil or 12 devils, but a legion of devils. At least 2,000 demons in one man. Come on now. I read something the other day that said it took a man with 2,000 demons to recognize who Jesus was. And sometimes not the one that knew 2,000 scriptures. Hello? The Pharisees didn't even recognize him. And they knew the law of Moses. Let the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Well, let's get to loving him then. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Praise God. And here he was, the man who was possessed with 2,000 demons and all those people that were backslidden Israelites, Jews, gave up sheep herding to become pig farmers. Yeah. Let me tell you something right now. Pigs don't belong on the altar. Amen. Swine's blood is an abomination and a stench in the nostrils of God. Now a sheep, they'll do anything possible to try to avoid a mud puddle. But a hog will just waller on in it. Come on, somebody. Sheep are silent and submissive, but pigs squeal. And it's an annoying sound if you've ever heard it. Can you imagine trying to bind down squealing Wilbur to the altar? Trying to tie him down, and the whole time he's just making all that racket. I thought, my Lord, I ain't got time to fool with that. Give me a sheep. Give me a submissive sheep that is willing to go. You say, well, the days of sacrifices are over. The days of offering up blood and bullocks and rams is over. Yes, Jesus Christ, amen, was that perfect sacrifice. But need I remind somebody in this house that Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. Our carnal entertainment don't belong on the altar. Our carnal music don't belong on the altar. Pigs don't belong on the altar. Get those squealing things out of here. Start being submissive to the will of God. And so Jesus did something else to just blow their minds. The demon said, can we go into those pigs? Can you step wrestling? Is this all right? Can I just get a little comfortable here today? Said go. Even those pigs had enough sense. They didn't want no devils in them. Ran down that steep place into that water hole, to that sea. And I got to thinking about that. You have to just forgive me. This is just the way I think. Demons can't swim. Amen. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, he said in John chapter 7, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Will you tell me? The devil can't survive in a glory-saturated atmosphere. The devil can't survive in an atmosphere of anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. It's like trying to hold on to a greased pig at a county fair. It just, he just can't get a hold of it. He can't grab a hold of it. Dearly beloved, I'm telling you, there's an anointing in this house. There's a strength in this house. There's a power in this house. There's a breakthrough in this house. There's a miracle in this house. And all God needs is a candidate to lay hold on the promises of God. You believe it? Say amen. Amen. Don't be misled by the mentality of borderline believers. It's still in or out. It's still black or white. It's still cold or hot. It's still right or wrong. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let's get back to the original blueprint. Let's get back to the original recipe. How many's ever drove down the highway and you seen that big old mouth-watering steak or burger on the billboard? Man, you wanted to get a hold of that. You were so hungry at the moment, you could probably eat the billboard. Man, you finally find that honey hole. You go in there. I want what's on that sign. I want what's on that billboard. Come on, somebody. And somehow it just never comes out as good as what it looks. It's not the same. Sometimes I'll be honest with you, it tasted like that billboard. Amen. Hallelujah. My expectation level went way down. And I'll tell you why. Amen. It's because somebody didn't follow the original recipe. There was some additive somewhere. There was some added ingredient somewhere. There was some substitute somewhere. I'm telling you, we still need to get back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. I get folks called every now and then. What does your church have to offer us? Jesus. Hello. That's why we come to church. He's the bread of life. And if people are praying like they need to, if people are rooted and grounded in the word they need to, amen, it's not our programs that's going to cast out devils. It's not our doctorate's degrees of divinity that's going to deal with those who are on the verge of suicide and on a nervous breakdown. But dearly beloved, it's that saint of God that's prayed through to the Holy Ghost time and time again, that's clothed with the whole armor of God. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. You shall lay hands on the sick and recover. Dearly beloved, we need to get back to the signs and the wonders of God. Amen. Amen. There's a story about a wagon master on this certain wagon line, and he's looking for a new driver to drive this new path that was cut through the mountains. So he interviewed 3 people. And he asked each and one of them the same question. How close can you get to this line without tipping over the wagon over the edge? One of them, a little bit confident, said, I think I can gallop pretty good with these horses and come within a foot of the edge of that cliff. All right. Then he asked the second guy the same question. He felt a little more confident than this other guy. Well, I think I could get a full gallop on them horses, and I could come within 6 inches of that edge. Then he asked the last man, what can you do about it? He says, sir, I don't know who you're really looking for, but I'm planning to stay as far away from that edge as I can. I'm going to ride this mountain. Come on, somebody. Amen, because safety is involved. And the man hired him immediately because it was a personal wagon for his own family. The owner and his children and his wife. Amen. I need to tell somebody, we need to quit riding the edge with our marriages. We need to quit riding the edge and putting God on a back burner and make him less of a priority in our life than we need to. We need to quit riding the edge of carnality and the worldly appetites of the flesh. And we need to get back to getting close to Jesus. I said, get close to Jesus. I said, we need to get close to Jesus. Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. Amen. Amen. One more thing, and I'm done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wave at me if you're still here. Are we still engaged? Are we in overdrive yet? Glory to God. Amen. There's the story. Now, I have to admit, Brother Switzer, I thought you was going to tell this story last night. He's talking about the mayor, the dignitary, came to church. And there was quite an incident just almost like that. This church was in a building program, and they just erected a brand new sanctuary. And all the big shots of the town was coming. The mayor and other city officials. And in that church was one rowdy new convert. Some of you smiling because you know who I'm talking about. You may have had a few in your church. I'm talking full of the zeal of God. They'd shout at the drop of a hat, and they'd drop the hat themselves. And man, he was all excited. This cowboy, robust cowboy. Man, he worshiped God with all his might every service. Well, this pastor started to get a little nervous because of all the important people that was supposed to come. And he went to him in love, you know how it is, he went to him in love and said, let's sedate that just a little bit. Let's just tone it down just a little bit. And he knew that this guy loved cowboy boots. He says, if you can behave yourself for one service, I'll buy you a brand spanking new pair of boots. Your choice, whatever you want. Huh? And you know how expensive boots are. I mean, maybe the only thing higher is like lumber right now, okay? Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. I was going out of Cracker Barrel, and amen, they're about to throw me in jail for a toothpick. Glory to God. No, not really. Amen. Get that out of my mind. And here he was. He said to that pastor, his eyes got as big as meatballs. He said, yes, pastor, I love cowboy boots. I'll do my best to behave myself. Whew. He was so calm, so relieved. Got up there, started service. Things started gaining momentum. There was a problem. I mean, he's sitting there all good. He said, cowboy boots, I got to have those cowboy boots. Tone it down. I got to sedate it a little bit. I don't want to embarrass pastor. I don't want to embarrass the mayor. I don't want to embarrass all these city officials. I just got to behave myself for one service. And the cowboy boots is mine. The cowboy boots is mine. They got up there and sang his favorite hymnal. And he started tapping those feet. Woo. And I mean, you could just see him squirming. All going through the motions on the front piece. And then all of a sudden, the pastor made the biggest mistake. Quoted his favorite Bible verse. The verse that was quoted when he got saved. Hatabohosha, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. They read the verse that he got when he got saved, and he said, he jumped up to his feet, made eye contact with the pastor, and he said, pastor, boots or no boots, I got to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've got to praise my God. And they said pandemonium broke out in that service. The power of God showed up. I want to ask some believers here today, boots or no boots, promotion or no promotion, if he heals you or if he doesn't heal you. Come on. Amen. If it goes your way or if it doesn't go your way, are you going to bridle your praise? Are you going to sedate your praise? Amen. He said, if these should hold their peace, the rocks will surely cry out. I just got a feeling there's some folks that are right on the border, that are right on the threshold. And if you just go ahead and go all the way in to Canaan, if you just go all the way in to the Holy of Holies, boots or no boots, you got to turn your praise loose so the rocks will not cry out in your place. Stand with me all over this house. Hallelujah. Someone would get a song. I don't know what they normally do here, but this is the way I feel like going this morning. I mean, it feels like praising Him. Hallelujah. You don't have to answer this. I'll be bold enough to ask this question. How many don't feel like praising Him? Maybe it's been tough for you. Maybe you've known more about tears and sorrow lately than triumphs and successes. Maybe you're just a little bit overwhelmed in the moment. But somehow, we've got to switch from the overload to the overflow. The Bible says, cast all your care upon Him. I gave it over to Jesus. And I stopped worrying about it. I gave it over to the Lord and He worked it out. How many knows what I'm talking about? Quit staying up all night worrying about it. Give it to Jesus. He works the night shift anyway. The God of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. I feel what I'm preaching right here, right now. Somebody's on the verge. Somebody's on the threshold. Somebody's on the border of turning loose your praise. Live with the shout of a king in the midst of the people. God inhabits the praises of His people. Take off, sister. Share what's on your heart. Come on, let's get in.
Well, I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire. Catch on fire. Catch on fire. I wish somebody's soul.